every minute because I realized it's Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which means I want to have time to do a little bit about Hanukkah. So we got to finish this chapter. Okay. This is the one on Bracha. Do I still have that 111 left? I have one page left. I don't even know if I have one. I don't even see one more. Okay. This is from the Haggadah. Hirsch Haggadah. Okay, we're on page 51 in the Hirsch Haggadah. Near the top. So where we ended was that the Jew, he's contrasting an attitude of Avodah Zarah with Avodah Hashem. But he's also contrasting the Jewish avoda with the avoda of the non-Jew. It's like a little bit both. It's not just avodah zarah versus avodas Hashem. It's the avoda of the Jew versus the avoda of the non-Jew. I assume that there's overlap there because of how it started, right? Mitchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avosenu. Like, that's where it starts, is with Avraham, and Avraham is the one of the Heye Bracha. The destruction of the Avodah Zarah was that effort from the human being using his Bechira, not just any human being, Avraham Avinu, using his Bechira to say, there is one Hashem, and the way that I relate to him is completely different from how anyone relates. It's not just, oh, well, they think that those things are the gods and creators, but they're wrong. This is God the Creator. That's not the Chiddush of Avraham Avinu. I mean, that is the Chiddush of Avraham Avinu, but it's much, much more than that. That by itself, so why is that any more of a Chiddush than someone who says, you know what? It's not just spirits of the trees. There's also a spirit of something. Like, what would be the big Chiddush? That he happened to get it right? Like he won the jackpot? Like everyone else was guessing 101,000 other like things that that's the God, and he guess something else. No, it's more than that. It's, what did he do with that? He didn't just is like terrible, like, because my son pointed out to me that nowhere else, if you look all around the world, there's still these places where people worship all kinds of like spirits of things. Okay, real Avodah Zarah. The only places that have a concept that there's one Hashem is someone who learned it from Avraham Avinu. Maybe they're Christian, maybe they're Muslim, right? But the only, it seems that in human nature, it's not just that people will automatically figure that out. Avraham was unique. He was actually unique. To us, it's like, how could that be so unique? Because we heard about that. But until it's heard about from someone who got this Mesorah one way or another from Avraham Avinu, it's not known.
Don't we see that people have like an inherent like belief in Hashem or something? I feel like,
and yet it seems that people don't figure that, they can't discover that on their own. I don't know how Avraham did. I mean, that's just like, look around the world. I don't know. I'd like to see the source. To recognize it, Rav Chana Wasserman?
Yes.
I think that the truth is embedded. It has to be, because it's really a little bit strange. Because Noah, what about Noah? Like,
people perverted it originally.
But you see that there's nowhere
right. That
this comes. It's like people can, maybe it's because it has to do with that sensitivity to what's really spiritual. Meaning there's, there's a way of describing the Beis HaMikdash where you say there's the Chutz Shebachutz and there's the Pnim Shebachutz. I saw this in Rav Shimshon Pinkus. Okay, so you have the Chutz Shebachutz, it's like Har Bayis, and you have the Pnim Shebachutz, which is the Azar. You have the Chutz Shebifnim, which is the Heichal, and you have the Pnim Shebifnim, which is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's a way of thinking about things, right? Everything has like an inner reality and an external reality, but even the external, like even the peel of something, right, has like the inside facing side of the peel and the external facing side of the peel. Yeah? So there's like the outside of the apple and there's the outside and there's the inside outside of the apple, and then there's also the outside inside of the apple. That would be like the flesh of the apple sort of like facing out into the peel. And there could also be like the inside. Yeah? Okay. So the world also, there's like the outside. That's the physical. And there's the inside. That's like the source and the Ratzon of Hashem, like coming out in a mimer of Bria. But there's also the inside of the outside. Like people have a part to them that's emotional. Your emotional state, your health, your sense of well-being, maybe your mazel even. Like whatever sort of natural, like a mazel meaning a person's born into a wealthier family or a poorer family. It doesn't mean they'll always be, right? But like sort of like the basic circumstances. That's not the physical necessarily. But it's actually part of the natural world. It's not really the spiritual. It's funny, you ever hear when children are very little and they ask what's their neshama? And the mama says, if someone hurts your feelings, where do you feel it? Or makes you feel good, where do you feel it? I'm not sure that's 100% true. It could be. I'm not sure, because your feelings is not your neshama per se. It's actually part of your physical self. That's why you could have a mood, right? Hormones regulate moods. Like you could have moods. And it could be, it's like the inside of the outside. That far, all human beings with Chachma could reach it. Some more, some less. You know, Rambam seems to have tremendous respect for Aristotle. But Aristotle didn't believe in anything he couldn't actually see. Like that's how, and he's like, he's the most brilliant genius that the non-Jewish world has ever produced. You understand? Like, as far as you can kind of see. So the sense that there's something more beyond that, it could be that all humans could have that sense. Maybe inherently even. But how far it takes them seems like it takes that discovery. I don't know why. Maybe this is a huge discovery because you see it hasn't been duplicated.
Maybe because the paganistic or whatever religions, or atheistic, whatever, are institutionalized. They're in society. When a person grows up in that, it takes...
They're used to it.
Some sort of extra...
Yeah, but it. I think there's... So that's what I was trying to say, where I was headed with this was, I think that the chiddush here with Avram, this is not just... realizing, wait a minute, there's an actual creator of all of these things that we're seeing, the sun, the moon, the stars, the climate, the all those things that everyone thinks are separate forces. No, there's one creator who created all of those forces. Okay, that's like, ding, you got the right answer. But that's, he didn't stop there. He also understood that this God, this creator of the whole universe relates to us. And that we relate to him. That's a whole new level. And that is where V'heyeh Bracha starts to come in, right? That's where the Jew relates to Hashem by saying, I exist for a reason, and my reason is the implementation of your work, Hashem. But that was what we talked about last time. Right? Avram Avinu didn't just realize that there was something new that he then sat and tried to teach other people about it. He waited outside his house after he had his bris milah in the heat to we can't like get from the car to the house, in the summer, but in the desert, in the heat, hoping someone would come by. He's always, look, you look in these parshas, you notice, Vayikra b'shem Hashem kel Elyon, Vayikra b'shem Hashem kel Olam. Like, it's not enough to just notice it and get the right answer. That would be like a step one. And fundamentally underneath it, there is, of course, what society just happens to teach people. But that's a double-edged sword, right? Because there's people who know about Hashem because they grew up in a society where people talk about it. Mm-hmm. And they don't take it any further than that. So it's not really enough. It's more than that. It's that attitude of, is avoda a vending machine? Or is avoda me giving? That's like another level above it. And that's where the bracha comes in. V'heyeh bracha. And that base and the two-directional flow of the base. It's a two-directional flow of bracha. In right? Because that was his question. How do you define the word baruch? It's two directions. Not because God needs us. That's not something we say. But that we have something to offer, that is what we say as a Jew. We say, I have a mission. There's something I have to do. That's the mission. Sometimes, I was just looking here about Hanukkah. That came early, so I was a good chance to start looking ahead at Hanukkah. And the Hanukkah chapter is together with the Purim chapter. So he mentions in the Purim chapter, so what did they have that they could do about it? Their lives were at stake. They got it. Sometimes that's what you could give. Right? It's not that we're in control, but it's that we always have a choice. There's something to do. And if our attitude about avoda is only... I'll put my finger very quickly. This is Chodesh. Yeah. With Purim, he mentions... I don't know if I can find it so quickly. They turn to God. The only way open to them, earnest submission of their cause and prayer. Which is interesting. Isn't earnest submission of their cause meaning sending in a note about the problem, right? Like, okay, isn't that the prayer? So what's that mean? Prayer is avoda. Ezohi avoda shavalev zot tefila. That doesn't say bakasha. That's avoda. So there's something in avoda. Tefila is avoda. Avoda is working. Is giving. It's doing. Right. It's not only taking. It can go together. It's two directional. It can go together. When you make a pipeline, stuff can go both ways.
When you say that praise, like the shevach part of,
yeah, even that's Hanukkah. That part, yeah.
So would you say that's the part of tefillah that
it can be? It for sure can be. It for sure can be.
Very often. Sure. So isn't bakasha for sure not that part?
Not for sure, because remember we said it could be if you're saying really what should be that you want it to be Hashem's ratzon.
Right.
So then it's not even that might not be, but yeah, for sure, a hodah is halal and hodah is a big piece of. Of the avoda aspect. The word halel is to reflect.
Why?
It's really the word hilah, like a glow. Meaning it's light that's reflected. It's not the source of the light, but it reflects the light. Because halel is when you see that Hashem has done something amazing in the world, salvation, and then you, when you speak it out, you sing it out. So that's like a bouncing back of it. Yeah? You see it and then you bounce it back. That's a halel, is that a reflection? Okay, two directional. Okay, however, to say, may God be blessed through me. So now he's contrasting. He says, there are people who, their whole prayer, their whole concept of prayer is bless me, give me, give me, give me, bless me, bless me, bless me. However, to say, may God be blessed through me, this is a new definition of Baruch Atah Hashem here. Not really new to him, but maybe new to us. Means that one's work is no longer his own doing. Let's see what that means. At the same time, one is not trying to gain his own ends. Right? This is my very humble mashal of being the spoon in someone's hand. The work is no longer one's own doing. If I'm the spoon, if I'm serving Hashem, if what I'm doing is what I understand as best as possible to be Hashem's ratzon, because that's what he said in the Torah. That's what it says in the halacha. That's what it teaches in the Gemara, right? If this is what Hashem tells me is what he wants to do, and that's what I'm doing, then whose work am I doing? Hashem's work. And what if I'm supposed to support a family and feed them and clothe them? And the way that I'm going to find to do that that's respectable and clean and honest is running a store, selling shoes. Whose work am I doing? I'm doing his work, not my work. Do I need a salary for that? Yeah, because I want to pay those people's bills. Those people being, you know, my wife or my husband, my children. Yeah, but it's not my work. It's not for gaining my ends. It's for accomplishing his work and his goals. So that means if my life is set around, I heard Robert Hartman say today on my way here, a circle has only one center. Yeah. So where's my life spinning around, right? Is it the taiva? Is it the ava? If my life is spinning around that it's Avodas Hashem, then my work is not, that's may God be blessed through me. Every bracha I say is may God be blessed through me, and it's over and over and over again in the day. Maya brachos. 10 times 10, that's a big unfolding of creation. Yeah? The world was created with 10 mamaros. It's a big, big, 10 is a big kind of like serious full scale unfolding of the creation of something. 10 times 10, that's like more so. Okay? 100 brachos a day. I'm building worlds. But whose world am I trying to build here? Is it mine or is it his? At the same time, one is not trying to gain his own ends. Okay, so I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing this for you. Now we start to come to understand, you had a question, but what about asking? This last week. What about asking for yourself? Is that maybe you shouldn't ask for yourself? Yeah, but whose work am I doing? Okay, if I ask for my verse team, could I make copies? It happens to be I usually make these copies at home. It's like easy to take care of it, be done. But let's say, I don't know, I ran out of ink. If I come and I ask the secretary to make copies, I'm asking for a favor. Well, yeah, I am asking for a favor, but whose work am I doing? This is for you girls. This is for the students here at Beis Yaakov.
But something that, like, for example, let's say, I don't know, you want to do well on a test. Whose work is that really? It's not specific, like, I don't know.
It depends. So that's where, like, as you go through your life, you have, like, different times. There's times that are more introspective. There's times in the year like that, for sure. The beginning of something, so Rosh Hashanah is the beginning. The Sefer kind of started with like Kabbalah, Smach Hashem, right? So at the beginning, you also have times in your life, maybe when you feel like there's change, or you feel the opposite, there's not enough change. Things start to feel stagnant, and you're like, I can't keep going like this. Something has to change. Yeah, there's times in your life when you stop and you reassess and you try and line yourself up again with your mission. It's like a compass, you know. Which way am I pointing again? Sometimes you have to do that. You have to remind yourself. When you write down your conclusions, it's good, because later you could go back and say, right. Like, why am I going to school again? I'm serious. It's not even like a joke. Like, really, what's education for? It's also a question, right? So, purpose of education is to provide the student with the tools and the skills necessary to lead their lives. That's what it's for. That's based on a Rashi. Chanichov. Vayarach is Chanichov. Yeah, Eliezer. The Messiah Eliezer. Okay, so Chanichov. Rashi says, what's Chinuch? Yeah. Okay, that's the goal of Chinuch. So sometimes you have to remind yourself. Reverse is amazing. You want to know the definition or the pure purpose of something. Just go see, where did he talk about it? You know, it's so helpful sometimes to getting yourself straightened out on things. But yeah, like, so why am I doing this? Okay, so what's my education for? Okay, but like every time you have a test, you're going to work your way through that. That could be difficult. But once you've worked your way through it in one area, it becomes easier and easier and easier. And then you're asking for success. Why? Because you want to have a successful chinuch. Okay, why? So you could lead, you could build a life. You could, like, build a bias nema of Yisrael. You could, that's such a, like, cliched sounding thing. That's a big deal. See that when we get to Hanukkah. Like, that's a big deal. Okay, you want to be able to be yourself, become something, make your life worth something. Okay, those are good reasons you should succeed. I don't know what, if it's his judgment that it's right, but those are like valid things to be asking for, right? That you should have siyata d'shmaya to serve things. That's called one's work is no longer his own doing. At the same time, one's not trained to gain his own ends. His status may be ever so humble. His beginnings may well be ridiculed by others. In other words, person could be very born into something very wealthy, successful. You know, some people, like, every job they do, they seem to make a lot of money. And you're like, they made money doing what? Like, they built an empire of, like, a new kind of necklace with chewable beads. Really? They made all that money. In the meantime, here we are, struggling and slaving away and working and working and working on something we think is much more value to get around. Okay. His status may be ever so humble. His beginnings may well be ridiculed by others, but he has been assigned to his post by God, the master of heaven and earth, the king of the universe. God knows a man's strength. God's spirit animates him. Who's making me live? Who gave me this body? How much energy it has? He knows how much strength I have. He knows how much energy I have. So
he gave me this job. I'm not talking about, you know, people say, oh, he would never give you a task that's too big for you. Because, like, Lamaisa, you don't really know what the task part is. All you could do is daven like you should make the right choices. The choices are always your task. Success? I don't know. Like, but Hashem knew what he was doing when he put you where he put you. Right? A person could be on the street, and 20 years ago they took a CPR course, and somebody collapses. Of course they have to run over now. So you say, yeah, but really it would be much better to have, like, a doctor. Hello, I'm the one who's here. Okay? That is a sign from heaven that I am meant to do something. The fact that Hashem did or didn't equip me with which tools to do it with, he knows what he's doing. Obviously, you try and get more help, right? Call one of the things with CPR, it's when to call 911, right? Like, I'm not saying, like, but Rav Hirsch himself says it in the end of the 19 letters. He says, people might say I'm the wrong person to write this. I don't know how to go about that, but says, I might not, they might say I'm not great enough. There's people greater than me. He says, but when you're standing outside a house and it's up in flames, and your neighbor's children are inside, do you stop and say, am I the best person to go inside and pull them out? He said, I can't stand by when I see my neighbor's children are going up in flames. So I'm going to write. And if someone wants to correct me, that'll be even better. If they can then say, no, 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 that's not good, and they'll fix it, and they'll write it better. All the better. Yeah, that's an attitude. Okay. He has been assigned to his post by God, master of heaven and earth, the king of the universe. God knows a man's strength. God's spirit animates him, and he has placed him within the particular context of his occupation so that he may perform his will there and then. This is a sentence to live by. In moments of doubt and insecurity, this is something you live by. Hashem made me the way he made me. And he put me where he put me. And I don't have to worry about that whole side of the equation. My job is to perform Hashem's will here and now, in this moment, without worrying about the end, without worrying about the success. That's what I'm here for now. Man is his worker, his meaning Hashem's. And consequently, he has God at his side always. If you're the spoon, the hand is never far. He fights the struggle against nature and society for him. In this case, the he is Hashem. It's a little hard to tell because it's the beginning of the sentence. Hashem fights the struggle against nature and society for the person. You don't have to. Sometimes your job might be to do a battle, but you say, but how can I fight this? It's not, there's so few of us and everybody's saying something else. We'll never be able to convince them. I mean, that's the story of Hanukkah. There's so few of us and so many of them. We couldn't possibly succeed. Hashem will fight the fight. That part, you don't have to worry about this. That's not up to you. God is man's shield and protector. Hashem is Magen, Hashem Elokim. Before him, before Hashem, not man, will the entire hostile world retreat. Someday, when everyone says, oh, we're so sorry. Yeah? It's not going to be because of us. It's going to be because of the glory of Hashem. So do I have to worry? Do I have to feel responsible to make that happen? No. I just got to do his will right now. And maybe it's quiet and no one's going to know. Or maybe it'll turn out to be big and everyone will know. Maybe it'll look like a failure to everyone. Oh, that pathetic person, like, they're always the one speaking out. Or whatever. It doesn't matter. God is man's shield and protector. Before him, not man, will the entire hostile world retreat. That's what happened to Matzis Yo. It's like just too apt to let it go for Rosh Chodesh Kislev, right? It's just this man and his family. He brought down a whole empire, and not all over, but in locally. They took it away. They took them down. That wasn't possible, but they did what they needed to do. They could no longer stand silent. We'll try and talk about this going forward. Not today, but they couldn't stand quiet anymore. They couldn't hide in caves anymore. Were they going to win? No. But at some point, they couldn't sit back and let it happen anymore. So they'll stand up and die trying. Turned out that wasn't Hashem's will. Okay. Renounce your will for the sake of his will, so that he may nullify the will of others before your will. That's from Pirkei Avos. Blessed be you, Hashem. Baruch atah Hashem. May your work be implemented through me. This is the Jewish call to arms in the ceaseless struggle of life. Ceaseless struggle of life. David told us that Rav Huttner used to say, one of the ways you could tell if an animal is a trefa, right? An animal that will die within a year is a trefa. So it means it's, even though maybe it won't die for another 6 months, even now, if it would be shechted, it's not kosher. So one way you could tell is you put the animal like a sheep, you put it in the river, and you see, can it swim upstream? Or will it be carried downstream? She said, because that's chiyus. Chiyus means you could swim against the current. Yeah? Because that's life. Life, chayim, is always fluctuating. There's always something missing. Something needs to be filled in. Something needs to be fought. That is what we're here for. That's what it's about. Okay? The Jewish call to arms in the ceaseless struggle of life is may your work be implemented through me. May God be blessed through me means that one has reached the goal of his desire and remains there at every moment. Meaning, if a person would perfect this attitude so that they could always hold this thought in their mind, which is hard, it's okay. Remember before where he said if you achieve 3/4 of what you were meant to do? Okay. In that moment, you've reached the goal of your desire already. What else could you want? Right, we're talking about like this attitude of Avodah Zarah, which is left with the nations, essentially. Avram kind of moved away from that. That idea of give me, give me, give me. So then you never get to the goal of your desire. Remember Taiva? The more you want, the more you want. And the more you get, the more you want. It never ends. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. The line keeps moving because you only want what you don't have. But if your thought is, may God be blessed through me, so what do I want? That Hashem's will should be fulfilled through me. Could I achieve that right now, in this moment? Yeah, I could. Because if I do the mitzvah, if I do the thing that I need to do in this moment, then I achieved my goal already. And remains there at every moment. In a sort of ideal reach of this, it's the ahava where you always have everything. The blessing, everything you've received is the blessing. So no wonder the person isn't saying, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. It could be there's missing tools. You say, Rabbanu Shalom, it looks like you want me to do CPR on that person. Could you wake up my hand that fell asleep on the way while I'm running down the street? Like, that would be helpful because it'd be two hands, right? Like, but it's not me, okay? And if, I know this lady in Israel, she has one arm. So if she would see someone, she's supposed to stand by and say, I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you, sir. Or should she do CPR with one hand until someone with two hands comes along? Right? I mean, whatever tool she has is what she has. You don't agonize over that. You do what you can with what he gave you so far. You already reached the goal of your desire, because what's your desire? Hashem's will should be fulfilled through me. Yeah? And whatever the amount of success it is, that is his will. So that we could achieve. Every moment, provided one has done his share in fulfilling of his will, provided that he has made use of it with all the strength granted him in the service of his master. Every such moment then represents the summit of man's aspirations. Every moment of choice could become like the peak of achieving what you'd like to achieve. Now, that was quite a parenthetical phrase. Provided you've done your share in fulfilling his will, meaning you've made the correct Shabbos. All the strength granted him is a pretty strong amount of dedication. It means in every moment, no matter how tired you are, you feel you can't go on, you might have to say, well, could I manage one more step? Yeah. Success, I don't know, but since I don't see success yet, maybe I have to take one more step. and I give up. Maybe I have to take one more step. A friend of mine just lent me a book. It's about different, it has to do with people who survived the Holocaust by escaping through Spain. And I'm like blown away. Like a lot of these people, it's only because they didn't give up. They got rejected or turned back or caught at a border or, and they like kept trying and trying and trying and trying. And there were in this book, occasionally there's like people who just like lay down in the middle of the street and said, I can't go anymore. And like they try and just get them going, right? But like, I think like, I don't know. Like that's a real muster for me. It's something to really think about. Like maybe I would give up. And you see all these people who like, they had to keep trying. One more time, one more time, one more time. Oh, if they would know ahead that it's gonna take 40 more times, maybe they would just despair. Or maybe the opposite. They say, well, if I know that some point it'll succeed, I'd keep going. But we don't see that, right? So our choices have to be made, not based on, I feel like I'm running out of strength because I'm failing, but rather, what is Hashem's will? If it's his will that I should be trying on this, then I might just have to keep doing it. Okay? Lack of success or lots of success are not necessarily indicators that you're doing it right. Because that's his cheshbonos. We don't know about those. It's a very important thing. It's like a very American, comes from the Puritans, that success is a sign of God's favor. Not so much Jewish. Just because someone is rich or famous does not mean they're better. That should be obvious. But it's surprising how pervasive a belief it is. Okay. Whether one has much or little is immaterial. That does not determine the measure of his blessing. We talked about that, right? The three quarters, you did three quarters with the means given to you by Hashem versus someone who only achieved a quarter of what he could accomplish with the means given to him. Even if what he did was way more than what you did, you know, you gave $200 of tzedakah in your whole life, and this guy gave a $2 million contribution to a yeshiva, but he had $3 billion and you had $600. Yeah? So you did more, right? So whether one has much or little is immaterial. That is not the measure of our lives. That does not determine the measure of his blessing. Wow. So a person who has less doesn't mean he has less bracha. Doesn't mean he's lacking. Just means he has less. Nor even whether his exertions have been successful. Meaning, if someone has a lot, that doesn't mean he was really, it's a sign that he did the right thing, right? Just because somebody's successful, they start a company and it succeeds. And only one in 20 companies succeeds. So are the other people not as good as him? Or didn't work as hard as him? Or weren't as clever, they didn't make such a good business model as him? For success too is God's, not his. I don't have control over that. As long as one can say to himself that he has dedicated himself with all his might to fulfilling his will, Hashem's will, if to do so is his only and exclusive wish, that's the thing to focus on. Trying to get ourselves to that place, that's a big avoda, that's not a one-day avoda, then surely, even when God gathers you to him in the last moment of your life, he will leave you fulfilled and serenely contented in the knowledge that you have lived not in order to receive blessing, but to give blessing. We're starting to understand why there's life and there's existence. This is why we had to take the detour just to get through here, but it's worth it on its own. Could be this was the detour to get to here. Okay? There is no greater contentment and peace than for a person to know that I live my life to give, not to receive. In this is found the only peace and the only happiness one can hope to obtain. Okay, so I said it's the greatest. He says it's the only. When the Almighty implanted the first Jew among mankind, he uprooted him from everything that is generally considered a source of blessing. Right? You said in that Rashi? Why did he give him one of the opinions in that Rashi brings down? Why did he give him these brachos to counteract that the traveling on the road is going to reduce, right, his ability to have kids and it will reduce his wealth and his health, right? So Hashem's giving this bracha for that. Hashem uprooted him from everything that's generally considered a source of blessing. He said to him, leave it to me to bless you. And you, for your part, become a blessing. Wow. I'll take care of you. You take care of everyone else. And that's Avram. And that's where the Jewish people starts. This is where we come from. This is, you know, people have all kinds of ideas like, oh, we better than them. And it's based on nothing. It's a nothingness that even makes a person lower than the people they're comparing themselves to. Like, this is why. This is why a Jew is special. We're a whole family of people who come from one source that says, live to be a blessing. I'll take care of you. You give. By this single expression, Hashem isolated Avram from among the rest of mankind, yeah, who sought blessing, and made him, meaning Hashem made Avram, into a source of blessing. Presumably, that's what Avram wanted more than anything. If you think about that, he must have wanted so much to be a source of blessing. To be the Amud HaChesed means he must have wanted it very much too. By this single expression, God showed Avram his mission for the rest of his life and the heritage he was to bequeath to his children and the generations after them. Okay, so we're going to end here. The plan is to now take this back into Tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim, because now we're in a better position to understand the sentence where we left off, which was, everything sustains and is sustained. Everything takes and gives and receives a thousandfold in giving, for it receives life instead of mere existence. Yeah. That was on page 427 of Chorev, in chapter 88 on Tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim. We did a couple sentences, and we just got there. I found this other, I have 90 seconds, so I'll share this with you. This is from the essay on Rosh Chodesh, which I also looked at before, because I was here early, like I said. So on Rosh Chodesh, you just have the statement mixed in, so to speak. You'll hear the echoes combining what we saw in 19 letters about Olam Chesed Yibaneh, and over here about Bracha and about Tzedakah. A great order of give and take thus embraced all beings with love and engendered life. Life which is naught but receiving and nurturing that which has been received for the further gift of life to others. Meaning in life we all are lacking and we need. And we need to receive. But what the goal is, that life, what life is about is receiving and then nurturing what you received so that you can give it on to others. Isn't that very much what Hashem just said? I'll take care of you and you be a source. Life which is also giving, and by that giving, receiving the consummation of self, like the fulfillment and completion of self, in one's fulfillment of the duty of creating. It's like a very interesting thing to come across as Rosh Chodesh. Okay, so it's possible, I have to look at the calendar exactly, I might interrupt before we go back into Tzedakah and Gemilas Chasadim to talk about Hanukkah. I have to see, like, do we have two or three? Also, on Hanukkah, you get out early, so even if I'm here... Oh, you don't get out early? You don't. The elementary school gets out 3:45.
You always get out 3:45.
Oh, you do anyway. That's true.
Even when I have to go home.
To light and things like that, right. So I would assume that probably in Hanukkah, also I might be away, in Hanukkah we won't meet, so I want to do before Hanukkah. Okay. Thank you. Good Shabbos. Good Kodesh.